All right, welcome to January 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. So I've been talking for the last few days about possibly changing the name of the show, in addition to some of the other changes that I'm making to it. And I'm just having a heck of a time trying to come up with a name, actually. This is where your help would be appreciated. Should I leave the name the way it is? Should I just shorten it to Joe's Daily U.S. History? Or maybe name it to Joe's Daily U.S. History Nugget? U.S. History Insights by Joe? Joe's U.S. History Muses? U.S. History Flashes? I don't know. What do you think? Or do you have a better one? I'm hoping you do. Let me know on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thank you very much for that. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to Richard Nixon, and Thomas Paine publishes Common Sense. All right, so now let's get started. 1913. Happy birthday, Richard Tricky Dick Nixon. The only U.S. president from California, Richard was born in Yorba Linda in the O.C. down in SoCal and attended Fullerton High before college and his law career. Mama Hannah Milhouse was a Quaker. Papa Frank owned a gas station slash service store. Richard attended Whittier College, where he played football and got his law degree from Duke U, graduating near the top of his class. In 1940, he married Thelma Catherine Patricia Ryan, just call her Pat, from drama and amateur acting class. They were cast in a play together, and that's when the magic started. They had two daughters, Tricia and Julie. Julie, by the way, would eventually marry Dwight Eisenhower's grandson, David, and live happily ever after with him. During World War II, despite being raised a Quaker, Nixon served as a Navy lieutenant commander in the Pacific. Good thing for Nixon that his bunkmates would show him how to play poker, since he was able to use his winnings to finance his first political campaign in 1946. Upon leaving service, Nixon was elected to Congress from his California district. There, he served on the House of Un-American Activities Committee and famously took the leading role in an investigation against Algiers Hiss, a well-respected former State Department official who was accused of spying for the Soviet Union. When Richard, the boss, Nixon took Hiss to the witness stand, Hiss ratted out his accuser and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. In 1950, Nixon ran for Senate in California against Helen Douglas, a vocal opponent of the HUAC. When Nixon's campaign staff passed out flyers on pink paper, implying that Douglas's voting record was far left, the Independent Review in SoCal nicknamed Richard Nixon for the first time Tricky Dick. In 1950, he won a seat in the U.S. Senate. A couple years later, Dwight Eisenhower chose 39-year-old Gloomy Gus Nixon to be his running mate for the presidency. During the campaign, Nixon went under scrutiny when he was accused of accepting money and gifts from special interest groups. He countered this by famously stating that the only gift he'd ever received from a lobbyist was a Cocker Spaniel puppy for his young daughter named Checkers. The speech was very effective, and the Eisenhower and Nixon team won the election in 1952 and re-election in 1956. Then, in 1960, Richard the Boss Nixon went up against JFK for the presidency. And on September 26, 1960, Tricky Dick the Boss squared off against John Kennedy at the studios of CBS's WWM in Chicago for the first televised presidential debate. Nixon did not look like the boss that day. He appeared nervous and pale, in sharp contrast to Kennedy, who was tan, cool, and of course, very handsome. But possibly the biggest takeaway from the debate was the fact that folks who watched it on TV gave the victory to Kennedy. However, those who listened to it on the radio gave it to Nixon. Kennedy would win the election by a very small margin. Devastated, Gloomy Gus Nixon went back to California and ran for governor, where he lost that as well. But in 1968, Tricky Dick made a comeback, went back to Washington, and ran a successful campaign against Democrat Hubert Humphreys and Alabama Governor George Wallace, And that, my friends, is when Searchlight Nixon became the boss. During his first term, the 26th Amendment was passed, which dropped the voting age from 21 to 18. American astronauts walked on the moon for the very first time. The Selective Service Act, or the draft, was enacted. He visited Beijing and Moscow to reduce the tensions with China and the USSR, limited the production of strategic nuclear weapons, and ended America's involvement in the war in Vietnam. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, who would win the Nobel Peace Prize in 1971, also worked to reduce tensions between Israel and its enemies in Egypt and Syria. Meanwhile, back at the White House, Nixon ate cottage cheese and pineapples for lunch every day. He once invited race car drivers to display their cars at a reception. He loved the movie Patton and watched it over and over again. He was on the cover of Time magazine 56 times. Definitely 56 more times than I have, by the way. Elvis Presley, the King of Rock, asked Nixon to give him federal status to fight the war on drugs. The boss held a huge 70th birthday party for Duke Ellington and invited jazz legends Cab Calloway and Dizzy Gillespie, among many others. The party went on until 2 o'clock in the morning. And speaking of parties, Nixon loved playing the piano at them and would have sing-alongs. And guess what, folks? If the President of the United States is asking you to sing along while he's playing the piano, you'd better do it and don't screw it up. In fact, he and Vice President Spiro T. Agnew once closed a party singing God Bless America. Good times. He spent $2 million fixing up Camp David and had a bowling alley installed where he rolled his best game ever, a 204. Searchlight Nixon was unstoppable. He easily won re-election in 1972 with the biggest margin of Republican voters since the Cold War began. He was on his way to legendary status as far as U.S. presidents were concerned. He was Time magazine's Man of the Year. What could possibly go wrong with a second term? And then came Watergate. Tricky Dick had just won the election by one of the widest margins on record. He didn't have to cheat. But, as it turned out, a break-in at offices during the Democratic National Convention led an investigation to the committee to re-elect the president. "I am not a crook," declared Richard the Chicken-Hearted Nixon, denying any involvement. Until wiretaps proved otherwise, capturing his direct involvement to cover up the mess and divert the investigation. This scandal would end Nixon's presidency. His cabinet scrammed like rats on a sinking ship and resigned, but not without getting convicted of offenses leading to Watergate. Agnew resigned for unrelated scandals and was replaced by Gerald Ford. And on August 8th, 1974, Searchlight Nixon resigned on TV. Gloomy Gus would go back to Yorba Linda and would be pardoned by his replacement, President Ford, a couple of months later. During his retirement, Nixon wrote books and one time disputed a contract between Major League Baseball and its umpires. On April 22, 1994, Richard Nixon died of a stroke at age 81. His legacy is split between a successful statesman and an effective diplomat, and others view him as a disgraced criminal. Quote, "If any individual wants to be a leader, isn't controversial, that means he never stood for anything." Unquote. Happy birthday, Richard! 1776. Thomas Paine publishes Common Sense. This book helped to turn American complaints about England into the American Revolution. Check out this line from the book. "Europe, and not England, is the parent country of America. This new world hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty from every part of Europe. Hither they have fled, not from the tender embraces of the mother, but from the cruelty of the monster, and it is so far true of England that the same tyranny which drove the first immigrants from home pursue their descendants still." So very true. The pamphlet sold about 500,000 copies by 1778. And so that's just about going to do it for January 9th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what your thoughts are on today's ep. For example, what's your takeaway from the story of Richard Nixon? Anything you care to add to that? Or what about the book Common Sense? Do you think it's outdated? If you do, I highly suggest you read it again with an open mind. But yeah, let me know what your take is. And you can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice questions while you're on the website. Good luck with those. And don't miss tomorrow's program, America Online and Time Warner Merge Plus. LBJ asks Congress for funding the Vietnam War, as well as sports historical news about the Cincinnati Bengals, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Dwight Clark. So don't miss that. And until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.
Good night now.